Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Desert Island Discourse, sisters. I'm Beatrice McCabe.
I'm Rosemary McCabe.
And today we are going to go through the musical references that made Rosemary who she is today. At the end, she will be cast adrift into an island by herself where I will never have to see her again, and this will be the last episode ever. So enjoy it, because from now on, Rosemary will be doing a Tom Hanks Castaway.
Oh, Wilson!
So Rosemary, tell me, would you say that music is a big part of your life?
I'm not sure it actually is now so much, because we don't really listen to music that much in the house. Although I keep bringing the speaker down and going, we'll put music on when we're downstairs. And then the boys keep taking it back up to their bedrooms. So there's rarely music on in my house, which disappoints me, because growing up, it definitely was a big part of our lives. Mom always had the radio on. I remember that, like, when I woke up, that was the first noise that I would hear, would either be talking or music on the radio. And they played a lot of music in the house. And famously in the family, probably just us, Mom and Dad are always going on about how when they had kids, they never turned down their music, because you need to get kids used to the volume at which you want to listen to things, which is actually very good advice that I didn't take. And now Atlas wakes up with the drop of a hat. But that's also because the house has been very quiet. Well, no, we're also very... Anyway, listen, that's beside the point. But there was always music in the house. And I remember as well, Dad had this... I think it was like a 10 CD changer under the seat of his car. Do you remember that? When he had all these CDs. And we used to listen to A Woman's Heart in the car. But the song that I most remember listening to, well, the album that I most remember listening to is Mark Cohn. And my favorite song on that album was always Silver Thunderbird. Well, because it's kind of about a young boy and his dad. And obviously I wasn't a young boy, but I was in the car with my dad. And that song and that album really, really remind me of Dad. And I probably would like Walking in Memphis more, but then I sang it in a singing competition in college. Remember where they said it sounded like a good karaoke, but still like karaoke.
About you? Were you in a choir?
About me. Yeah. I mean, I was in the choir at that point, but I remember singing the song. Sorry. But I remember singing the song on stage. And then afterwards they were like, it just sounded like karaoke.
I'm sorry. The judges said this too?
Yeah.
Like in front of everybody?
Yeah.
Oh.
So mean.
That was a bit mean,
and it wasn't even for TV. Anyway, so this is Mark Cohn's Silver Thunderbird.
Watched it coming up Winslow down South Park Boulevard.
And do you have a song that you associate with your mom? Were there a lot of records and CDs that you mainly listened to? I feel like there was a large record collection growing up as well.
Yeah, there was a large record collection, but I actually don't remember. Well, I remember Mom listening to a lot of the Beatles, but I don't remember any particular song that I associated with her, because when we were in the car, she always listened to the radio. So Dad was the one who in the car, it would be albums, it would be A Woman's Heart, it was Mark Cohn, it would be Beatles albums as well. And I remember it being really annoying, actually, because you'd be at home and you'd go, let's put on Rubber Soul, and all the good CDs would be in Dad's car. Do you remember? Because there was 10, like he commandeered loads of them.
I forgot about that. And did you go to a lot of musical performances? Is that something that you went to? Did you, you sang yourself?
I sang myself. I was in choir in secondary school, but I also dated a guy for a couple of years in secondary school who sang and played guitar. And he used to go and play guitar down the local, like in the Johnstown Inn, I think, before we'd go to Nighthawk. So they'd have like, before the club opened, you'd be having drinks in the bar and they'd have him and this other guy. I don't even know how they met or how they got to know each other. Because I actually met the other guy a couple of years ago in town and he was still playing music in Fitzsimons. But yeah, my ex-boyfriend used to play guitar and sing with him. And every now and again, he'd get me up to sing and we'd sing More Than Words by Extreme. You look shocked at this.
I was just about to ask. I was about to say, as a joke, did you ever get up and do backing singers? What, you sang More Than Words?
Yeah.
I actually love that song.
Yeah, with a harmony. Yeah, yeah, it's a gorgeous song. And I distinctly remember, you know the bit in the song where it goes, knock, knock.
Oh, yeah.
More than I tried, or whatever. And I distinctly remember, I don't know, like it's almost like I can hear the sounds and smell the smells of being there in that moment when he would just stop, all the music would stop and he'd go and then start again. And that's very, like whenever I hear that song, it's very evocative of that time and those moments and just being there.
And that moment of fame. You mentioned you were in the choir. Did you not actually get kicked out of the choir? Is that something you told me?
I think we've talked about this in the podcast before. I did get kicked out of the choir because I'm always, and Mom says this as well, like the muggins who like volunteers to do stupid shit. Like volunteers to basically put their head above the parapet. And what happened was we were in choir and a new song had been chosen that we were going to learn next and nobody liked it. And they were like, why don't we ask if we can pick the songs next time? And they're like, Rosemary, you ask if we can help pick the songs. So I duly went up to her the next day and I said, we were wondering if, like a few of us were wondering if we could like have a say in what songs we sing. And she basically was like, you've got a really bad attitude and I've had enough of it and you're not in the choir anymore.
And did you never get back into the choir?
No.
Oh my God.
No, and I think that was in 6 years. So it was like coming up to our school graduation and like I didn't get to sing in the graduation or anything, which I'd been in the choir the whole time in school. It was so annoying.
So you got kicked out of one choir. Did you ever join another choir?
Yes, in college I joined the choir. I don't think I didn't join in first. Was it in first? I didn't join in first year. So after school, I didn't go to college straight away because I wasn't sure what I was going to do. So I took a year out and then I still wasn't really sure, but I decided I'd go to Galway and do arts. Like, why? I mean, when I think back now that I like wasn't really sure. So I went miles away.
Well, I mean, I think it was for the break for something new to do, you know, to kind of disrupt the rut.
It wasn't, it wasn't. It was also because in Galway, you could choose 4 subjects in arts in first year. And I think in Maynooth, it was only 2, or in Trinity, it was only 2. And I really didn't feel like narrowing down my options that early, if you know what I mean. So I chose to go to Galway. And first year, I did sociology, psychology, English and Italian. And I really just didn't, I liked English and Italian. The other two I didn't really like. I was homesick. I didn't really enjoy my first year there. And then at the start of second year, I wasn't sure if I was going to go back. So I decided I would defer second year and take a year out. I think I got a job in Brown Thomas and I was working on the designer floor.
So this is another year out. I don't remember this.
I started and then after about 2 or 3 weeks, I was like, no, I actually want to go back to college. So I left the job and I remember them being really annoyed that like I'd, you know, obviously taken it and then left really soon. But I went back and I remember the first day back, I was feeling really nervous and kind of overwhelmed. And even though I'd missed nothing, I felt like I'd missed loads, you know, because everybody had already, like I had to try and find a place to live and there was no rooms left. And I was staying on the floor of friends of mine's house. And then I eventually found a place to live. But on day one, I remember going into college and meeting this guy, Peter Mannion, who ended up being the head of USI, I think, like years later. But he was the conductor of the choir. And the year before, I had auditioned for the musical. And I had got a place in the chorus, but I never went back because I was just, I don't know, I just suddenly got really nervous and I was like, I don't want to do that. And I think honestly, a part of me was like, if I'm not a star, I'm not going to be in the chorus. Honestly,
oh my God.
To be honest. But anyway, I met him on my first day back and he was like, oh, I met you last year. You came, blah, blah, blah. And he said, will you join the choir? And I was like, oh, maybe. And I think actually without the choir, I probably wouldn't have ended up doing the next 3 years and like sticking it out, because that was where I found, not to sound too cliche, but that was where I found my tribe.
Oh, yeah.
And I really loved, I mean, that was where I found my boyfriend.
Well, that was your tribe. And was this the gospel choir, or was that a separate choir that you joined?
No, years later, I joined the Gardiner Street Gospel Choir. But I was only in that for a couple of months. And I just, I love singing, right? And I love the feeling that you get after singing. Like there is a kind of, you know, endorphins, this kind of euphoria. Not quite euphoria, but like endorphins, serotonin.
Well, it's also the act of the joy, the enjoyment of performance without the pressure of it all being on you. Like it's such a team sport, you know?
Yeah. But I think when I joined the Gardiner Street Gospel Choir, I didn't get the same, I think I was older. I probably wasn't as open to being friendly to people either.
But didn't you also have problems with your vocal cords at that point? Remember your voice kept disappearing?
No, that was kind of in between the two choirs. I had some, in between the two choirs, I had some voice problems. And then my vocal cords, I don't know what happened. It was like within a certain range, my voice would just keep, I'd keep losing my voice. And I think maybe it was just, I was singing too much at the time, because that was kind of towards the end of choir in college. But then a couple of years later, when I joined the other choir, I think I just didn't find my tribe in the same way. You know what I mean? I didn't make friends, and I was older, and it was, you know, I was probably not as open to making friends. I wasn't as friendly, and
busier. Yeah.
I was busier, but like I didn't really hang around afterwards for the cups of tea because I felt really awkward because I was new and I didn't know anybody. But then like I never got to know anybody because I never stayed, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I only stayed there for a couple of weeks. But while I was in the choir in Galway, we competed in Italy and we went over to Lake Garda. We were there for about 5 days, 6 days. That was the one time in my life I went on a roller coaster.
You've only gone once?
Yeah, because I nearly had a panic attack. I'd never go on one. I came off and nearly hyperventilated. Bit dramatic, but like I had my eyes closed the whole time as well. I was terrified.
Oh my God. Well, I had to go on every single roller coaster, etc., because Don is motion sick and I know Nash wants to go on everything. And I'm actually terrified. But I also was like, okay, come on. Just fake it till you make it.
But like, well, see, the thing is as well, you're never as full as I am. I feel like I'd puke.
Oh, gross. God, gross.
I would have gone to the buffet in the hotel that morning, stuffed my head, and then been like, I can't go on a single roller coaster.
So must so many of these Disneyland tourists. How come they don't all puke? Well, anyway, was there a song that you particularly enjoyed from your time in the choir in Galway or from your gospel choir?
Well, from the gospel choir, I loved Higher Love that we sang. And I actually love the James Vincent McMorrow version of it as well. But when I was in the choir in Galway, we sang a song composed by Eric Whittaker called Sleep. And that was just an amazing piece with like so many different harmonies. And like we were really good for that, like for that period that we went to Italy. I think I'm not sure if we won, but we definitely placed in the competition. And it was just, it's such a beautiful song. So like sometimes I listen to it now. And actually, I think Mom and Dad have a CD that we made in that choir. So that song might be on that CD, but I can't quite remember.
Thank you.
Did you ever consider joining his virtual choir?
No. I know you talked about it, so I was aware of it. I am aware of it, but it's never occurred to me to join it. I did kind of think about trying to join a choir in Fort Wayne, but any of the ones I found were audition-based, and I kind of, like, I don't want the choir to be crap, but I also don't want it to be necessarily only, like, incredible singers. You know what I mean? I want it to just be more relaxed. And then I also don't want to join a religious choir because I don't want to have to go to mass every week, basically.
So apart from being in a choir, did you ever do any singing lessons or voice training or anything like that?
Yeah, I did classical voice training in towards the end of secondary school, and because I sang for my as part of my music exam and my leaving. And I actually went to lessons with the vocal coach who worked with the choir in Galway. I went to lessons with her for about a year, I think. But I haven't done any since. And I don't really know why. I think at the time it felt like I was doing lessons to work towards my leaving, and then I was doing lessons to help me. Well, actually, it was because of my vocal cord problem. So I was doing lessons with her because she was like trying to teach me to sing more in my head voice and to, you know, not put so much strain on my vocal cords. But it's never occurred to me to go back because it doesn't feel like those two had a purpose. Whereas now I'm like, maybe I should just go back and sing to sing.
Yeah, would you consider taking lessons again? I mean, there's Heartland Sings gives lessons here in Fort Wayne. Maybe you should.
Yeah, I don't know.
Be nice, I think. I mean, I think we both enjoyed, we were surprised by how much we enjoyed doing our pottery class.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I was actually thinking that if I had any kind of like, not really entrepreneurial spirit, but like a kind of a, if I was more of a leader, I should just start a choir. I was like, why don't I start a choir? Because like, I know all these people who work in Sweetwater. You know, I know people around Fort Wayne who would be like-minded, as in who wouldn't necessarily want to go to like a super serious choir and also wouldn't want to go to mass every week. But then I just felt overwhelmed by the idea of it.
So after you went to college, you went through the choir. What did you do then? And what kind of music did you listen to at that point? What was important to you?
Well, probably towards the end of college, I started going to a lot of concerts. So like we went to kind of a few, we went to Witness when it was called Witness, I went to Oxygen a couple of times. I went to the first ever Electric Picnic, which was amazing. And that's where I discovered Too Many DJs. Like, not that I discovered them, but that's where Too Many DJs were introduced to me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I really liked Too Many DJs. I really liked Jurassic 5. There were a lot of kind of like Chemical Brothers. I saw them as well in Marley Park. I was kind of into like that kind of popular dance music for a while. And I remember we used to go to a club in Galway that I can't remember the name of. Oh, it was called Cuba. It just came to me there. And it was kind of like, they played kind of indie music. It would have been like the Whelans of Galway. You know, so they'd play like Weezer and they'd play Too Many DJs and they'd play Chemical Brothers. So that was like, I used to go on a lot of nights out and I used to love dancing. And then like, I also loved dancing to like Christina Aguilera,
oh,
Dirty.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a fave. And Britney Spears. Oh, the Britney songs are very hard to dance to and sing at karaoke, as we learned.
So do you think your musical tastes shifted after that? Did they change a bit?
I don't know that my musical tastes are particularly defined. I like a lot of different music, and it's very rare that somebody would say to me, oh, listen to this band, and that I would go, oh, I hate that. You know what I mean? I'm kind of open to a lot of different types of music. I don't really like hard dance music. I just find it a bit headachy, like, and I probably prefer music with vocals. But that's also because I really like singing along, especially if I'm in the car. And I also tend to prefer, although not, I mean, I'm thinking about my record collection and I have like Neil Young and then Lauryn Hill and Beyonce and also the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack and, you know, totally random from all different eras. I love the Beatles, but now I tend to listen to mostly female singers. And I think a part of it is, I think a lot of it actually is because I can sing along, because I know they're going to be in my range. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A lot of the songs that like stick with me through my life are, you know, certainly they're not necessarily the best songs. They are very often the songs that I listen to on repeat when sad things happened or when I thought myself to be, you know, when I viewed myself as a semi-tragic figure at various moments in my life, or when good things happened and there were kind of soundtracks to those moments. Mm. Was there anything like that for you? I specifically remember when I moved into my first apartment in Kilkenny, and I just felt very kind of independent and grown up, and it was sort of a it felt like a real new chapter in my life. Was there anything like that for you where maybe you felt like you moved kind of into your adult phase of your life, or, you know, your career independence or anything like that, or even romantic relationships where music is a reminder of those moments for you?
I don't know that I specifically have like a song that I associate with, you know, a time in my life in that sense. But there are two songs that kind of spring to mind as being, when I hear them, I am transported to this one moment. And one is Top Loader, For a While, the song they released after Dancing in the Moonlight, like their one hit. Did you know Dancing in the Moonlight is a cover? The Top Loader song.
Maybe.
I heard the original like a couple of weeks ago and I was so shocked, because I was literally like, they've come up with this incredible song. And I found it really weird that they never came up with another good song. But now I'm like, okay, that makes sense because it was a cover. But their next song, called For a While, is probably not very good at all. And I got really obsessed with it during school when I was obsessed with a man who I would later hand a gold foil condom to. As like some kind of weird come on. And I used to listen to this song on repeat in my room. And like, not even, like, I wish I could say, like, touching myself. Like, no, but I mean, it wasn't even like that straightforward.
Excuse me, I wish you couldn't say that.
But you know what I mean? Like, when somebody says, I used to listen to this in my room and think about somebody I fancy, that's kind of where your mind goes.
That's
but
not where my mind goes at all.
You're such an innocent.
I see somebody, like, with their Pride and Prejudice copy mooning, not mooning with their arse, but, like, mooning facially out the window.
I wasn't. I was lying down and I remember crying, because I was literally just like, I fancy him so much and I don't know if we're ever going to get together. And I was like, I would listen to this song and I would imagine us be together, and then I would cry when I realized we weren't, you know, when I came back to like, oh, I'm just in my room.
You're like, he still hasn't unwrapped that condom and knocked on the door.
Once upon a time. But the other song is Frazee Ford's Done, which I listened to. I don't even know how I came across it, how it came across my desk. It might have been just like suggested to me on YouTube. And it's a really, really nice song. It's really catchy. It's very nice to sing. Has a lovely beat. But there's a line in it that says, my joy takes nothing from you. And I remember listening to it a lot when I was working as a social influencer. And I would love to say when I was trying to, like, you know, ignore the trolls, but it wasn't. It was when I was a bit of a troll and I was obsessed with this one girl on Instagram who drove me mad. And everything she did, I was like, oh, why has she got this and why has she got that? And I was like, really, just found it really aggravating. And I remember listening to this song and going, oh, like, why am I letting her joy? Why am I acting like her joy takes something from me? Because it doesn't. And I think it was after, I mean, it wasn't the song that made me do this, but it was around that same time, I literally unfollowed everyone that I ever had that kind of thought about, that I would see and go, why are they getting invited to that thing? Or why are they getting that lipstick? Because I needed to basically blinker myself from all these things that were making me feel jealous and petty and like I wasn't as good as them, even though we were in completely different spheres. And I was never a beauty blogger. Why I sell semi 20 lipsticks? But when I saw somebody else opening this suitcase, and I remember adding it up as well, being like, that's 238 euro worth of lipsticks. And like, really, I just have to remind myself, their lipsticks take nothing from me.
That's true. You know, I mean, that sounds like, though, a monumental shift in maturity, quite honestly, because it is. I know I read your piece today in your Substack that said, 39, I'm finally mature. That sounds like that was a moment of maturity for you. Like, it is hard. I think as humans, we're not very good. We're not. I mean, why would we want to sit around and think like, I'm not nice in that way, or that's an aspect of my character that I'm not super proud of? But acknowledging it, I think, is the first step to kind of go, okay, like, you obviously were saying, let me get all this, for want of a better word, temptation out of the way so that I don't behave that way. Like, that does sound like a kind of a moment that you moved forward with this song. So do you have any songs that you know, that you and Brandon have, or that are meaningful for you, apart from Miss Rachel with Atlas?
Mr. Sun, Mr. Golden Sun, please shine. No, that's very annoying, Miss Rachel. It really gets in your head, all those songs. I don't, Brandon and I have really, really different taste in music. I don't even know what kind of rock he likes. Some kind of rock that I don't particularly like.
Yacht rock.
No, definitely not. No, because I love yacht rock. No, yeah. Not yacht rock.
No, I more meant, is there a song that reminds you of Brandon or that you were listening to when you met Brandon? Not necessarily one that you danced to in the sitting room.
And it kind of annoys me. Is basically any song by Hozier, because when I first met him, he talked a lot about Hozier. He had seen him in the Clyde in Fort Wayne. And I think in a way, because he was Irish, he was like, here's kind of a shared interest that I can talk about. Even though, I mean, I like Hozier, but I wouldn't consider myself a Hozier fan. The Hozier, his first album, all those songs kind of remind me of Brandon, because we would also have listened to them in the car at the time, because I think he would have been like, I won't put on my favorite rock.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Because Rosemary doesn't like that. And then he wouldn't put on my favourite music because he objects on principle to listening to Britney.
Oh, for God's sake. But he's gone to a concert tonight, isn't he, to give an example of the type of music he listens to.
Yeah, he's gone to Pantera. Are they opening for Lamb of God or Lamb of God are opening for them? I can't remember. Lamb of God and Pantera.
So
like big bands, right? Yeah. Big popular band. Like he doesn't like alternative rock. It's
but in true, he likes loud rock. And in true American form, he's driving 8,700 miles to get there and 8,700 miles back in the middle of the night.
3 hours there and 3 hours back the same night. And I literally was like, why don't you just... I found him a motel. I was like, this motel has good reviews, $56 a night. Why don't you just stay here? It's like an hour from the concert venue and then you can come back in the morning. No, we'll just come back.
I mean,
weirdos.
So what are you listening to now? What kind of music are you listening to now in your, you're a mother? You're living in America. You're a writer. You're a published author. What kind of
mother,
grown-up, maternal, authory music are you listening to?
I'm not listening to any grown-up, maternally, authory music. I'm listening to, on repeat, this song by Dury called Who's Laughing Now? And it's basically like about all the things that you were told when you were younger that you either would or wouldn't achieve, or like, you know, you won't manage to do this if you don't do this. And it's like, who's laughing now? You know, I might not have much, but I'm delighted with myself and like, isn't that great? And it's just a really nice upbeat. It kind of reminds me actually of like probably that same era, like Weezer, Green Day, a bit of Linkin Park, like that kind of sound. So it definitely is retro. And I was absolutely shocked when I realized that the lead singer who I was totally fancying is something like 26. And I was like, he, like in my head, he was the same age as me. Because in my head, I'm 26. My mama always said I would regret it if I ever got a tattoo. She said I'd never get a job like I ever wanted one with that attitude. My dad said I had to learn to drive.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. I'm going to cast you away on this desert island, and I have a couple of final questions for you. But before I do that, I have a little rapid fire round for you of who is your guilty pleasure that you listen to?
I don't believe in feeling guilty about your pleasures, but it's probably Britney Spears or Cher, the Shoop Shoop song.
Are you looking forward to Beyonce's new album?
Meh.
Which member of Take That did you fancy?
Mark.
Would you go 3 hours to see the Backstreet Boys?
Yes. Are we going 3 hours to see the Backstreet Boys? Is this your way of surprising me with Backstreet Boys tickets?
I mean, I probably could find them. I feel like that. They play pretty close to us
frequently. That might be my guilty pleasure.
Rock your body. Yeah, that's a great song. And the video, I mean, a classic.
So good.
All right, Rosemary, I'm casting you away now. I'm waving goodbye to you. I'm looking around the house to see which of your new H&M purchases I'd like to take home with me, because you can't use them on the island where you're going. What one of those songs are you going to take with you, and what book are you going to take with you to keep you company before you starve to death because you can't get a coconut with a book?
Oh my God, I'm imagining myself now. I have such bad aim trying to throw a book at a coconut and trying to knock it off a tree.
A coconut? Maybe you could catch the fish with your hands because you're really coordinated. Okay, Rosemary, the book and the song. What's the song? What's the book?
I think the song I would take would be Eric Whitaker, Sleep, because I can imagine myself being in an absolute panic on a desert island on my own. And that song is very calming and also goes on for quite a long time. So I feel like it would at least fill the time, you know.
Could you make a fire by yourself? Do you have the ability to whittle fire from nothing? You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Beatrice. A bit of flint, a bit of wood.
Are you joking?
Yes.
What book?
I mean, I've never tried, but I feel like I could.
Some of the pages from your book. What book would you be bringing with you? Camping 101. Survival tips.
I'd be bringing my new How to Grow a Garden in the Midwest. No, I'd be bringing Jan Martel's Life of Pi.
Oh, that's kind of optimistic.
I mean,
ish. Yeah. Titanic.
That's not a book, Beatrice.
It probably is.
Be bringing my DVD player and my 2-DVD set of Titanic.
Well, Rosemary, thank you for sharing your Desert Island Discs with us. That was very enlightening.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening. You can get us on Patreon, patreon.com/notwithoutmysister. Follow us on Instagram or email us, notwithoutmysis@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.
Not Without My Sister is recorded in studio in Fort Wayne by Don Kirkland, who also wrote our theme tune, and the original illustration is by Lindsay Nielsen.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.